You know what? We need to break out our Bibles. We've been in Ephesians. We finished up a section on marriage. We've taken a journey. So open up to Ephesians 6, okay? We're not going to get very far, as you may well expect. Takes me this long to say my name, as you guys have learned. But, you know, the book of Ephesians, beautiful book, one of my favorite ones, honestly. And I know you say, Rob, you say that about every book. So we've learned in chapters 1, let me take you on our little journey through that where we've been. Chapters 1 through 3, where Paul taught us where we sit as Christians, seated in the heavenlies, saved, positionally, spiritually speaking. God, the moment we get saved, God takes us, puts us into the heavenly places, sees us already there. And I know what we're thinking, but wait a minute, Rob, we still live here, okay? So we still have to walk on this earth somehow. We still have to put feet to this heavenly place, and that's what we began to learn in chapters 4 through 6, how to walk out that understanding of our position in Christ and how we as Christians are supposed to get along with each other, the unity that is already there, and then how we do that, how we enjoy the unity that God has already brought to us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We live here. We're not physically in heaven yet, so we need practical help on how do we live this thing called the Christian life. And that's why Paul has been, you know, just beautifully showing us this. Over the past several weeks, we learned about having a successful marriage. How does that happen? Paul gives us very explicit instructions. And if you weren't here, and you would like some instruction in your marriage, please just go next door and tell them, hey, I want those last three. Or even better yet, we did a whole marriage series. It's called Simply Marriage. Just go next door, tell them you want that series, and they'll get it for you. And just looking at the Word of God and what it has to say. And so we found that the Bible is very, very simple. Paul just gives us very simple instructions. He doesn't, you know, give us a seminar. He says, husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit to your husband. Respect your husband. It's a very simple thing. He doesn't, you know, take us down this big journey and through feelings and emotions. He just lays it out. He says, this is what we need to do. And for us, that as we trust in our relationship with Jesus Christ, he then gives us the power to do what he's asking us to do. So it's not based upon human effort. We talked about that because we'll fail in that. So today we're going to dive into the next section, okay? So follow the order. First of all, wives, you know, husbands, the marriage relationship, you know, working together as a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, working out this relationship. And then he says, all right, now let's talk about unity. We're already now unity within the family. So the proper order is unity between a husband and wife. You guys got to be getting along. And then from that point, what's next? Well, let's talk about family. Let's talk about parenting. Let's talk to the children. So I need to ask a question here today. How many of you sitting in the room here today are still living in your home right now? You're still living at home. Raise your hand. I promise I won't call on you. I won't embarrass you. I just need to know how many are in the room. Okay, so a handful. All right. Anybody else? Josh, do you still live at home? How old are you? 10? When are you moving out? Okay. So, how soon? Okay. So, we have a handful of you. So, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm also going to talk to you as parents also. Okay? So, we're going to deal with children and fathers. And next week, we're not going to make it today. We'll deal with, you know, employers, employees, and how that all works. So, I need you, your Bibles are open to Ephesians 6, right? So parents, hold your child's hand or the if you have someone that's living in your home right now, right? And they're with you, just reach over and hold their hand, okay? And then would you just read these first four words with me, okay? So all of us parents, can we read it together? Children, obey your parents. Doesn't that feel good, huh? Doesn't that feel good? I like it. All right. So you can close your Bibles. That's all we need to say. You know, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then he gives us an interesting, Paul reaches back to Exodus 20, pulls out of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Well, what's the promise? That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. The promise is, obey me if you want to live. All right? And you fathers, which we'll get into next week, so we won't even go there. I only made it through three verses first service, okay? So, again, very simple, very practical, two simple instructions. Paul doesn't say, let me give you a child seminar and help you deal with all of this reality. He just lays the cards out on the table. Children, two simple things. Did you catch it? Obey, verse 1. Honor, verse 2. Obey and honor. That's it. Now, I need to share something with you. Mari and I, we have two children, both grown, both out of the house, both married. You know, our son, 27, going to be 28 next week, married, not walking with the Lord, unfortunately. Keep our son in your prayers. I covet it. Our daughter, 24. Thank you. As you all know, Christy, walking with the Lord, on fire for the Lord, living in Germany, married, and we're working on that. And so it's an amazing thing to raise children. And we, for those of you that have younger ones, we know it's a hard thing to do, isn't it? And so I want to ask you a question. If you will, paint a little picture. I'm going to ask you some few questions because it's different than it was in 1970-something when it happened for me. To get a driver's license currently in the state of California, let me explain to you what has to happen, okay? You're required to go and sit in a classroom for 32 hours. Okay, you have a 32-hour instructional course called driver's training. Now, that is just to take the written permit, written test to get a permit. So you take this 32-hour course. Once you've passed that course, you can go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and show them that certificate, and you can take a written test. You pass that test, they give you a permit. Not a license yet, a permit that now enables you to drive a car with an adult in the car with you. So now you get to get behind the wheel. Now you will drive with an adult for 40 more hours behind the wheel driving. So you've done the educational part, 40 hours with an adult. Then, after you've accomplished 40 hours, you're required to take another course, an eight-hour behind the wheel with a driving instructor paid by the state of California, comes, picks you up in the car, and you have to drive with that guy a total of 8 different hours, okay? So here we now have, that comes to 80 hours of training. And can I share something with you? For the privilege of having a driver's license in the state of California, and it is a privilege. It's not a requirement that you have one of these, okay? So parents, make sure that your children know. And even for us as adults, I mean, it's a privilege to have a driver's license. And so that, to me, is an amazing thing. 80 hours of training just to get a driver's license to drive in the state of California. Now, the amazing thing is this. Can I ask you all parents a question? How many hours of training did you get before you had your first child? I take that as a zero. Okay, Mari and I had some training. We went, back in the 80s, we went to Lamaze classes. Remember those? And that was just to teach you how to have the little vermin. Okay? I mean, excuse me, children. Excuse me, I misunderstood. That is just to have the child, right? They teach you how to breathe through pain. And, you know, all of that was absolutely worthless to us anyway because our son, 2-hour labor, our daughter, 1-hour labor. And so Mari's a little baby machine. She didn't even have the She didn't even get to use any of the Lamaze stuff because it went from breathing lightly to screaming loudly all in one quick thing, right? So it's an amazing thing. So we got Zip. Now, I know what some of us think. We start thinking, well, now, wait a minute, Rob. I had 20 years. I had 22, however old you were when you first started having children. And you say, well, I look back at my parenting. Training came from my parents. So, yes, my training that I received was watching how my parents raised me. Can I tell you something? Grandparents in this room, how many hours of training did you have before you had us? None? Well, your parents. Can I just tell you, our grandparents were dysfunctional. That's why our parents were dysfunctional. That's why we're dysfunctional. Okay? So even if you were blessed, like I was, to have two parents raise me in the church that, you know, I grew up and Leave It to Beaver. And so even if you were blessed to have that, you can talk to my mom and my dad, and they will tell you raising three boys that were insane was difficult. And they will tell you they made mistakes because they didn't have any training either. And I am here to tell you, we made mistakes because we didn't have any training until the parenting class, which I'm telling you guys, if you haven't taken it, you need to do that. And one will be coming up in the fall. So most of our parents received no training. So then, in essence, we had bad training to teach us. And as Craig says in his class, we take the good, throw out the bad, and make up the rest as we go along, right? And that's what most of our parenting equals, right? So our parents messed up, and so we're messing up. And that's, you know, and may I say this, if you grew up in a home where there was abuse of any kind, which many of you have, so you grow up in a home that is really dysfunctional, to use the word in its reality. So you grow up in a home where there was whether physical, sexual, emotional, verbal abuse, whatever it is that you grew up with. Now you have a child. You start wondering what is normal. I don't even know what normal is. And so you add that into a mix of all of this stuff. And so many of us have found out as parents that, you know, our children, and it's interesting, I just had the chance to tell this to my 27-year-old son just the other day, that children will bring you the greatest joy that you've ever experienced and also the greatest heartache. That we get this wild range of emotion and everywhere in between. And so kids that are in the room, and I guess we would have to say, you know, for each of us as children, there's two very, very simple things. Obey, honor. Black and white, simple. But we need to understand something. What is a child? Who are the children that Paul is writing to in this? Well, the Greek word that he uses means offspring. So offspring, obey your parents, okay? So can I ask you guys a question? How many of you in the room have had a mother and a father? That's a trick question, Ben. That's a trick question. I want to see if you're listening, okay? So we are then all offspring in some form or another, correct? All right, so technically then Paul is talking to all of us as children that are offspring to our parents, okay? Now, when then does the command of these first three verses, who really is Paul's target audience? Who is he speaking to? Well, can I tell you, he's talking to us as parents, but he's also talking to children. Offspring, may I add this, that are still living at home. So if you're under your parents' house, or you're under their rule, then this is for you primarily. Now, what about for some of us that are grown adults and we go visit our parents and we stay with them for, you know, Christmas for a week? Would that apply to you then? Yes, it does. So very interesting. So this then applies to all of us that are living under the roof of, you know, our parents. But it's primarily directed at those that are living at home. So the first of Paul's commands is obey. Isn't it interesting? Very simple. Greek word that literally means to listen to or to hearken. It means this. In the Greek, it means when someone knocks at the door and you go up to that door, who is it? You're now hearkening to hear who's on the other side of the door. Who is it? Because you know it could be a stranger. It could be a dangerous situation. So you're listening with the intent to hear in case it could be a dangerous situation. That's what the Greek word means. It comes from to hearken to a command, then to submit to that command. So actually, it's a military term that implies that you are listening to a command that could be a life or death situation. Now, if you go to Camp Pendleton, and you get the chance to do that with us, and we get to see these recruits, it was amazing. Andrew, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but it was amazing. These guys, when the drill instructors, because they're not Marines yet, you understand that. We get them while they're still in boot camp. So they refer to themselves as recruit. They refer to themselves in the third person. They don't even have a name at this point. So you ask them, where are you from? This recruit is from San Diego, they will say. You see? Yeah, so they don't have an identity. If you ask them what their name is, they say, my name is Recruit Hubbard. They'll tell you their last name. That's it. So when the drill instructors bark out an order, let me tell you, they snap to do what they have been asked to do. They hearken to the command. The last time that we were down there, we saw these, you know, they got to us really late. And so they're walking, single file, marching. And as they're marching towards us, there was one drill instructor with this big bottle of blue liquid. And he was saying, give me your face! And they turned their face toward him, and he would spray them in the face with this blue liquid. And so I'm thinking, wow, man, you know, what's that all about? You know, what kind of cruelty is that, right? And what do? They got in trouble. And, you know, some guys would just walk up and turn towards the sprayer, and other guys would, you know, he'd say, give me your face! And so they would turn their face. They were hearkening to the command. So I pulled one of the drill instructors off to the side, and I said, what is that blue stuff you're spraying on these guys? Did they get in trouble? And he goes, no. And he goes, it smelled good. It was Aqua Velva. Did that ever happen to you, Andrew? No? He said, it's Aqua Velva. And he goes, we've marched these guys hard. They stink. You don't want them in there until we sprayed them with Aqua Velva. So each one of them had Aqua Velva sprayed in their face before they came into us, you know. But what the point is that it's a military term. You give me your face, and they will give it to you. Now, that's one command, but they begin to understand that if they are in the heat, in the midst of a heated battle, they're being fired upon so heavily that you cannot even lift your head. You radio in and you say, I need an airstrike to give us some relief. Let me tell you, you would listen very carefully to find out exactly where the strike would come, when it was going to come, because it could mean your life depends upon it. You see? So, children, this is what Paul is asking from you, from us, if you will, that we should be doing with our parents, to listen intently to them, knowing this. Your parents love you, they want what's best for you, and their instructions, at some point, maybe your life will depend upon it. And so this is what is asking. Listen intently, your life could depend upon it, now do what you've been asked to do. It's a very simple instruction. And we've gotten so crazy. Do you know that in Germany, it's against the law to homeschool your children? Children have been taken away from parents and given, put into the foster care system because parents have been caught trying to homeschool their children. You know that in Germany it's against the law to spank or swat your child. The child can file charges against you as a parent, and they could be put into foster care just because you discipline your child. We're out of control. See? Did you guys see? It's an amazing thing. I know you've probably been keeping an eye on it because it's such amazing news. Lindsay Lohan. Did you see it? Yes, just last night. Did you see it? She wants to have a baby. But do you know why? Because maybe I need to have a child, because then having a child will help mellow me out. Is that why we have kids? I need to have a child because I'm out of control, and having a baby will really mellow me out and put me under control. Shut up. That is absolutely crazy. Is that why we have children? No. So we're going to send Bud over to visit Lindsay, okay? But I want you to see something here. There is a qualifying statement. Children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. So kids, let me ask you a question that are here. If a parent asks you to do something that is contrary to the law, it's against the law, do you have to do it? No. So Josh, let's just suppose that your dad says, Josh, we don't have the money to buy you a car, but I've learned how to hotwire one, and so me and you are going to go downtown, we're going to steal a car for you. Do you have to obey your dad? Good boy. Good answer, yes. So here's another one. What if our parents ask us to do something that is contrary to the word of God? Do we have to obey it? No. It goes back to just wives submitting to your husbands. If they ask you to do something contrary to the word or contrary to the laws of God, we don't have to, you know, obey that or submit to that. But I will tell you this. Okay, kids, listen carefully. Let me tell you, you better be able to clearly show that what you're defending is not biblical or that is biblical. Okay, you better be able to clearly show that. You can't just say, no, I'm not coming home at 10. My spirit doesn't bear witness with that. You know, just get in there, make your bed. You know what, I'm not feeling it. And so Pastor Rob said, I don't have to do that. No. You need to be able to clearly show biblically why, you know, you better have chapter and verse and context as to why you believe that what God is trying, or what, you know, you believe God is trying to show you. Second part is amazing. So obey. Is that very simple? Just do what your mom and dad tell you to do. It's a very simple thing because they love you. And I will tell you this, your life could depend upon it someday. We live in Ramona, that you can drive out from here to the estates. You could drive from here down where Dan and Nancy live, down towards Santee. You could drive down to Escondido, and you will see along the road, you will see many different memorials. I wonder if those kids, if we could look back, because many of them, alcohol was involved in all of those, most of them. So if we look back on that, do you see how sometimes we as parents giving you instruction because your life could depend upon it someday? Honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. It means to esteem. It means to place value, to put value upon something, to revere, to venerate. And it's similar to the word respect that we used when we were doing this for the ladies, placing respect your husbands. Place value upon them. Now, you remember I brought in my little antique mug and we talked about the antique roadshow. But, you know, that doesn't work very well when we're talking about honor your parents as antiques, and it just kind of doesn't work, you know what I mean? So honestly, I've learned something, that things that were, you know, value is something that changes as we get older, doesn't it? The things that we valued when we were in grade school is different than what we valued in junior high school, and what we valued in high school was different than what we valued, and what I valued in when I was in my 20s is different than what I valued in my 30s and 40s and 50s. When my health was removed from me, I suddenly valued my health when I really didn't realize that health was that important. And so we value things differently. And culturally, we value things. What Bud saw, what kids value in Africa, and what kids value in the Western culture, two totally different animals, isn't it? And so I need some help from you guys, because I am not kind of completely in touch with some of what your kids consider valuable. So I need to ask you, what is it that you kids, you can yell it out for me if you're here, or parents, if you're here, that you say, I know what's valuable to my children. What would you say is something that your kids place value upon in this culture? Go ahead, anybody. How about this side over here? Anything that you guys want to shout out? iPods and cell phones. Absolutely, bro. To me, kids in elementary school, you watch them talking on the phone. Yeah, and it's an amazing thing. To me, it's just a tool, right? we don't, as parents and adults, we don't say, ah, I value this, right? We just say, yeah, it's a necessary tool, right, to communicate with each other. But iPods, cell phones, so can we include in that video games, computers, okay? What else? How about this section? Clothing? Absolutely, man. We watch how shoes? Shoes. Boys with shoes. Wow. You know, wearing the right clothing in the Western culture, Germany, it's the same way, you guys, same thing. Clothing. How about over here? What are your kids consider valuable, or what are you, some of you kids? I didn't hear you. Friends, very, very good. That came up in first service also. Friends, can we throw one more in? Because a parent grabbed me after the service and said, not only friends, but when a child gets involved in a relationship with a boyfriend, girlfriend, suddenly we as a parent are now no longer of any value whatsoever. There's a great value placed upon that. That, if that is your problem, you must take the parenting class. Call our office. We'll set you up with Dan next week. Okay? Anything else that we've missed? How about over here, you guys? Yes. Friends, absolutely. Having that close friend. Oh, fun. I'm sorry, I missed you. Fun. Yes, having fun. So, kids, can I ask you a question? If you have your cell phone here today, would you pull it out for just a second? Make sure it's turned off, or else I will confiscate it. I want you to hold on to your mom or your dad's hand and say, you are more important to me than my cell phone. we won't make you yell it across the room. Kids, can I ask you a question? Can you tell your parents today, you're more important to me than my iPod? You're of more value to me than my friends. Relationships, we probably put a little higher price tag on, don't we? I promise you, Mom, Dad, because the Word of God tells me to place value upon you. You're more important to me than my boyfriend or my girlfriend. And if you're not ready to get married, you don't need one anyway. Okay? They have cooties. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what the Word of God is saying? Is that to place value upon, honor. God gave you the parents that you have. Oh, but I wish I had Johnny's parents. They're so cool. My parents are strict, Rob. You don't understand. Listen, you have the parents that God gave you. You honor them. You put value upon them more than any thing that you own or relationship that you have. Your parents are the ones that brought you into this world. And as I would tell my children, I'm the one that can take you out. Just kidding. Placing value upon them. Recognizing the tremendous value that your parents have. Treat them with extreme care. If you run out and you go, oh, I almost dropped my cell phone. What would I have done? When you see your mom and dad today, say, oh, I almost forgot to tell you that I love you today. I almost dropped you. You're running out the house and you say, oh, I forgot my iPod. You run back and say, oh, I forgot to tell you that I love you before I left. Do you see what I'm saying? The same value that we would place on a stupid little trinket. You got a mom and a dad, they're going to be there for you when this is already old and changed, and treat them with the same value, the same respect, the same care, the same gentleness. Why? Because God gave them to you. They are a gift from Almighty God. Notice we are to obey and honor our parents, period. Not if they're being cool. Not if they're giving you what you want. We are simply to do what it is that they've told us to do and then value them no matter what. Why? That it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. That you may live long on the earth. That's what it tells us. Now, so, you know, it comes from the, you know, two blessings that come from the fifth commandment out of, you know, Exodus 20. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that just because someone dies young, they were not obeying and honoring their parents, but as I just mentioned to you, how many of these memorials that are wrapped around our community probably have their root connection to there was no obedience and there was no honoring? I wonder. So kids, your parents love you. They want what's best for you. Whether you look at that and say, but Rob, you don't understand. My parents are mean. My parents are strict. My parents aren't cool. You know, my friends have cool parents. Listen, a parent, I mean, you guys, do you understand that even the world is trying to teach us something? Do you remember the commercials that were out where professional athletes were coming on saying, your children need a parent, not a friend. Remember those? If you love your child, you be a parent. It's very, very simple. We're going to talk more about it, I guess. We're going to have to next week. But time is short. Now, I will tell you this. You should be very glad that you were born in the 20th century, because during the time that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments, it had a different meaning about having a long life. If your child was disobedient, disrespectful, if he wasn't honoring his parents, someone else came and said, you're going to take that from your kid? Excuse me. Well, yeah, he is being disobedient and rebellious. They would grab that child, take him out to the edge of the city gates, and stone him to death. Now, they're not doing that anywhere in our culture, Iran. But isn't that an interesting thing? So a kid that was being disrespectful had a short life. Now I think that we can translate it that your parents are giving you instruction. They're placing value upon you. You place value upon them, realizing that the instruction they're giving you could save your life someday. How many of you saw the 2-year-old kid that smokes down in, was it Indonesia? Did you see that? How many of you didn't see it? Where's Joshy? Is he in here? We'll bring up the video of it next week. I'll show it to you next week. Blow your mind. So I won't tell you anymore because I want to show it to you and I'll explain it next week. So kids, does that make sense? It's a very, very simple thing. It just comes down to this very, very simple thing. It's a commandment from God, but I want to show you something. This is a fascinating thing. It's a biblical principle that God blesses when we obey. Just as he does husbands who love their wives, he's going to bless you for that. So I don't want this to just be, well, I guess I better obey my parents because they're going to kill me. Right? Could get stoned after church, you know. And that's a different kind of stoning than what, you know, what our culture. But so I guess I would have to do it. You know, they'll put me to death, you know. No, that is the negative side of it. Can I tell you the positive side? You want to have a blessed life? Yeah. I want my marriage to be blessed. So I'm going to obey what God has asked me to do. Mari wants to have a best marriage, so he's going to obey. Just as with tithing, just as with serving, just as with the riches we have, do what God asks you to do, you got blessed. Kid, you want to have a blessed life, you want to enjoy blessings of God, yes, I do, Rob. Then obey and honor your parents. Not because you're going to get beat up, you know, but because you have the blessing of God. The things of God, then do what he says. Do the way God lays it out. He knows what's best to do. He made your parents, he made you, and he wants to bless you. All you have to do is two simple things. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for opening us in a very simple fashion. And I pray, Lord, for today that those of us that are here, God, may we truly see and recognize, I want to be blessed. And the only way that that's going to happen is if I do it your way. So, Jesus, may we each of us see that, whether children or parents or Christians. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that hasn't yet surrendered to you, may you continue to woo and to draw them, to expose the emptiness of their life, to expose the missing piece that they've been searching for. That's you. In Jesus' name, amen.